In the epistle today, St. Paul's long story of his life, in effect, he writes, "Gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Today really is St. Paul's Sunday. The epistle is his story, it's his defense to the Corinthians, and the gospel talks about the sower going out to sow the seed, and that's St. Paul going throughout the whole known world, the greatest missionary of all time. St. Paul didn't start out as a saint, and that could be a consolation for some of us who have to start again this Lent. He was a Jew, and he hated Christ, and he was knocked off his horse, remember, on the way up to Damascus. Well, did you know that he was converted by our Blessed Lady's prayers? All graces come through Mary. She's the neck of the mystical body. All the graces pass through her hands. And while he hated Jesus, the Messiah, couldn't bear him, and his followers, who put them to death, he retained nonetheless a certain respect for his mother because he had seen how much she had suffered, and that made an impression on him. That was enough. Our Blessed Lady prayed for him, and he became the 13th apostle and the greatest missionary of all times. He's a convert of Our Lady's prayers. But I want to tell you about another saint whom we honor today as well, the saint we commemorate, and his name is Saint Romuald. "Gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Today's saint is held up as the most austere of the year. He's Mr. Penance. He did all sorts of terrible acts of penance. He lived a long time. They say 120 years. They say you live that long. That's the time of Noah. The lifespan of a man was cut down from maybe 500, 800, 1,000 years down to 120. The secret of it is not to eat. And he fasted every day, but particularly he kept two Lents, two 40-day periods of fasting during the year, not one but two, and would eat a handful of boiled herbs or a handful of lentils at the end of the day, and that's all. I know, he wore a hair shirt, one of these belts with things in it to poke into him. His penances were terrible and lasted about a century because he became a monk at the age of 20. He considered himself to have been pretty much of a sinner before that. But it's not so much the penances I want to tell you about today. It's about the draw or the attraction of the quiet, the solitude, the prayer in the life of this monk. And as you go through a saint's life, you always find things that are that you could connect with some level, that are congenial, particularly to our age. And our age is self-introspective and self-indulgent. You know, for us, really, it is finally all about me. So to hear about a saint who's a little bit like you could be an inspiration to plan out a Lent which is going to last. I think that his lessons are just as fresh as yesterday, if only we feel the attraction ourselves to prayer and are willing to go along with the inspiration. Because you can find good everywhere, even, and you have to look, even in the most unlikely places, obviously in the life of a saint, maybe in your own life, in your sins, there's an aspect of good. In the sins of others, in their ill will against us, you have to sort of peek sometimes under the mask. You know, this whole COVID conspiracy business, with all the lies attendant upon it, the effort of our masters to refashion society and us into a slavery state, in effect, to use fear to teach us a lesson of submission. Even that has some possibility. It could be mined for your salvation. If you go through all the problems today, and your problems too, think of what St. Paul wrote. Who shall separate us from the charity, from the love of Christ? To them that love God, all things worketh unto good. All of these things are meant to lead us, if only you let them. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this story, but I like to tell it sometimes. Well, you know how on your way into the confessional you have Our Lady of Guadalupe that you walk by? Well, we have the same thing in our church at Cincinnati, except we have an actual painting that a Mexican priest from Guadalajara gave us once. It's a lovely and original painting. And I form the habit when I pass by there to go into the confessional to say a little prayer to her. And it's very simple. Thou who art truly our mother, because she insisted with Juan Diego, am I not here who am your mother? Thou who art truly our mother, be thou also our queen. I just kind of made that up. Well, one time on Saturday morning, walking by, the thought occurred to me, I would be if you would let me. Now, that would be a good mother's response, wouldn't it, from our Blessed Mother, if we would let her. If you would let all of these things, with her help, guide you to God, then, and to the feet of his mercy, then you could use them for good, instead of them sort of pulling you towards the dark side. In his youth, as youth will be, he was really tempted very, very strongly against purity. And because he was a noble, he had a lot more leeway in that department, although peasants did pretty well for themselves too. So nobles also did a lot of hunting. It was expected of them. And he would go hunting. And often he would hunt by himself. And when he was hunting by himself, the silence drew him, and it helped him to stay away from people and the occasions of sin. He felt an attraction to solitude. Some of you may be hunters and may have done hunting or, I don't know, fishing. You're not necessarily of the nobility, but you maybe have felt a little bit that same attraction to the silence and the beauty of nature. Well, he did. What happened to him next when he was 20? Was that, you know, in the old days, and then they would settle, until recent times, they would settle their disputes sometimes by a duel. Well, his father, who was a duke, had a disagreement with a cousin over some property, and he challenged him to a duel. Well, Romuald was forced to stand as his second and to participate thus in the ceremony of this duel. And he was horrified to see his father, who killed his cousin over some miserable piece of property. And what came down that his punishment was he had to go to a monastery for 40 days for a Lent. Well, Romuald volunteered to take his father's place. He went to the monastery. It was a big monastery, St. Apollinaris in Classe, it's called. It's all full of beautiful art. And it's in the city of Ravenna on the Adriatic coast. Well, he went, and once again he was drawn to the silence. He didn't mind the fasting and got used to the prayers, but he loved the quiet and the talking to God. So much so that when the 40 days were up and he was free, he stayed and he became a monk himself. But anything that Romuald did, he did 100%. He wasn't one of those sort of like lukewarm tea sippers. No, he put heart and soul into it. Well, all the other monks were more or less time servers, rather lukewarm themselves. Not especially interested. And there were problems because he insisted on actually following the rule. So it was intimated to him that maybe he should be moving on someplace else. So he did. He left with the abbot's blessing and he went up from Ravenna to near Venice. And there at Venice he met an old hermit and he asked him to teach him how to be a hermit, how to pray, and things like that. Well, the first thing you do in those circumstances in the old days, he had to learn the 150 Psalms of David by heart. And St. Romuald said, if you can say those Psalms slowly all day long and keep your solitude, you'll become a saint in heaven. our shortcut that Mary gives us, you know, is what? It's rosary. It's the angelic psalter. And you know those mysteries, you know how to say your rosary. Well, he did. He spoke to him about that. And he had not done well in school. Maybe because he was a nobleman, they didn't insist that much. So he was put to learn the Psalms from his master. The man's name was Marinus. He was an old man, and he had a walking stick. And Romuald was a slow learner, and made a lot of mistakes reading out loud. And the old man got into a habit without realizing it. He was sitting on his left-hand side, and he would hit him upside the head every time he made a mistake in his Latin pronunciation of the Psalms. Well, after a while, it not only hurt, but he started to lose his hearing in that ear. So he asked, with great respect, he asked his teacher, said, "Master, from now on, could you please hit me on the right side? Because on the left, I'm losing my hearing." Well, the old hermit himself got a lesson in patience and respect from that. So then they're near Venice, and they somehow meet the ruler of Venice, who's called the Doge. He's elected every year, and his name is St. Peter Orseolo. And he was feeling very, very guilty, this man was, because he suspected that there was something really irregular about his election. I'm not sure if they were using the Dominion voting machines or just, you know, the old-fashioned stuffed ballots, but there was something like that. And also, there was a high suspicion of murder being involved about the previous incumbent. And, of course, all of those things we know from daily life. That's history and recent history. So the man leaves everything, and he joins these two monks, and they go off to France and to study and to live as monks, just in silence, just for God. He wanted to have it all. He wanted to be a martyr. So I thought, right, if I go to Hungary, they'll kill me for the faith because they're all Tartars, they're barbarians. So he went to Hungary, tried to get to Hungary. Each time he went closer to the border, he got sicker and sicker, and he could never make it physically. Until finally it dawned on him, this is not God's will for me. God lets you know by incidents what happens in your life, what his holy will is. Eventually, he was on a mountaintop someplace, and he had a wonderful dream or a vision of a ladder going up to heaven, and monks clad in white climbing up and down the ladder. And the man who owned the property on the mountaintop gave it to him, and he built his monastery. And I would like to say that he lived happily ever after, but he didn't. Because as an old man, he was over 100, he corrected some young nobleman, because he had been a young nobleman once for some vice or another, and the man took it the wrong way, and to get revenge, he accused St. Romuald of some horrible crime, and he didn't defend himself, so everybody thought he was guilty, and then he was excommunicated and forbidden to say Mass. He bore that for 6 months, and then finally our Lord told him that's enough. You must clear your good name. And so he did, very, very simply. 1,000 years later, what does that life of today's saint possibly have to say to us? Well, let me tell you a story. Bear with me. There was an old monk who was also a parish priest in a small village. I think it was in Italy. And he had a reputation for wisdom, but also for being a man of few words. There was a farmer in the village who was fairly prosperous, and he had one ox, with which he would plow the field, and one day the ox just upped and died. Well, he didn't know what he was going to do. How was he going to manage to do all that plowing now without an ox? So he went to see the priest, and he said it was a disaster. It was probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life, he said. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the priest just looked at him and he said, well, maybe yes, maybe not. That's all he said. Well, he went home mumbling against the priest, what did he know? And the next day, as he's out surveying the scene in his field, a wild horse comes galloping by. And he catches the horse and he breaks it. And he uses the horse to complete the plowing. And it's much faster and easier now with this fine farm animal, the horse. So he goes back to the priest and says, Father, I don't know how you knew, but you are certainly right, because things have worked out really well for me with that horse, and he's happy for a while. And then one day his son, who is his appointed successor on the farm, his son is riding the horse in his throne and breaks his leg rather seriously. And it's not sure if he'd ever be able to walk again. And so he goes to see the priest again and said, this time, Father, I'm as down as I could be. I can't imagine how we're going to be able to survive. I don't even know if my boy's going to be able to ever walk again, much less resume farming and succeed me in all this work in my fields. And the priest looked at him with more compassion this time. And the old monk says to him, maybe yes, maybe no. He could tell in his eyes he was at least feeling sorry for him. So he goes back, and once again he's befuddled, and once again he's not particularly pleased with these cryptic words from the pastor, the old monk. Well, two or three days later, what happens? They put a war on, because when in doubt, have a war. And the army came to commandeer all the young men of the village who were able-bodied, and they took them all, with the exception of the farmer's son, because he couldn't walk. And in time, he recovered perfectly, and his life was spared, and the farm was spared as well. Moral of the story, we tend to go in life from crisis to crisis, especially this past year with the crazy COVID nonsense. My goodness. There are odd moments of exaltation, but generally speaking, we're feeling that we're the victim of our masters rather than master ourselves of our own fate. Well, the truth of the matter is, we don't know what's going to happen next. We just think we do. And we blow up these scenarios of joy or of sadness or tragedy in our minds, all the wonderful or the horrible things that can or will happen. And most of the time, if you wrote it down, you'd see we're wrong. How can we ever manage just to stay cool and calm? How to be patient in affliction? That's a prayer of Thomas Aquinas. And humble in prosperity. Well, the only way to do it is Romuald-like, to carve out a little cave for yourself, a cave of solitude. That's your prayers. We tend to neglect that during our lives, especially busy, busy lives with social media, all that stuff. If you make that your one intention, one thing most of all you're going to do for Lent this year, you're going to turn it all off and turn away and be silent. What will happen to you? Well, first of all, if you're like most people, you'll die of cravings. It's like if you try to give up sugar, you know, or gluten or something like that, carbs. You get these cravings. You just can't bear it. That's how you'll be, because you want to fiddle with the phone and you want to get this and that. But when you turn it off, you're turning them off. You're turning off the bad guys, the ones who want to run and ruin your life and drive you into the ditch of depression so they can rule you or maybe kill you the more easily. So you're saving your life, and you're saving as well your soul. And eventually, at some point during Lent, I assure you, the high will kick in. And it's not a high high, it's just level. It's just level, it's peace. It's peace with God. And that's the peace that our Lord wants to, and the saints, and Our Lady, want to give you, that you should share in. And when you do that, you defeat them as well as please Him, our Lord and our Maker. So whatever else you do or you don't do this Lent, and I hope you'll be generous, because after all, this Lent may be your last. Think of the day of your death. This Lent may be our last. Who knows when some type of a real persecution will occur. We survived the last one beautifully with our catacomb Lent last year, but who knows how it will be this year. Make it last. But don't you let them call all the shots. You decide yourself that you've had it, and you're just going to say yes to our... You don't need to climb to a high mountaintop or go down to a monastery someplace that aren't in the open anymore. It's all gone. But you can make your own silence. It might take a little sacrifice, and it will hurt. Do that, and you will have a good Lent in the midst of your afflictions. God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.